We haven't talked about COVID and vaccines and all that in a little while. Let's check in with Dr. Matthew Sims, Director of Infectious Disease Research at Corwell Health East, formerly Beaumont Health. So many names to keep up with. Used to be Tiger Stadium. Now it's Dr. Sims, how are you?
I'm good. You know, that's the first time anybody's actually used the title from Corwell Health East.
Yes, so. I think someone's watching us, making sure.
Very current.
Slip back into Beaumont. So I want to start by asking you about this, the vaccine that's out now, and we just heard this week that there's some disturbing new variants that are coming out that are beyond the development of the one that this was developed for. It's a very slow reaction to this latest vaccine. You know, people are not rushing out and getting it by any means. Should they be? I mean, given the fact that we now know that it doesn't keep you from getting COVID, the country is rife with stories of people who say, I got my vaccine last month and then I got COVID. In fact, I'm one of those people. So why should they?
Oh, okay, so no vaccine 100% keeps you from getting a disease.
Well, this one doesn't. Not even 50% keeps you from getting
it. Well, as best we can tell, it is better at keeping you from getting Omicron, the 4 and 5, than the older vaccine is. It makes you make better antibodies against those. Now, hope that should translate into decreasing the overall number of people. Now, remember, the old vaccine is only right after you, you know, 2 weeks after you get it, it's only about 50% or so protection from getting infected, right? So there's a lot of people who get infected. What it does do is give you better protection against getting really sick or getting hospitalized or dying. And this is expected to do even more for that because, again, it makes you make antibodies that are specific to Omicron. It's like having a jigsaw puzzle where the pieces don't quite fit versus the pieces fit well.
Now, these
right?
two
Your
new
antibodies
COVID
should
these,
fit well.
These two new COVID variants, are they Omicron variants? Would they?
So they're Omicron subvariants, and they are sub-subvariants. They're subvariants of BA5, which the vaccine is made against. So the new vaccine, and they do clearly have immune escape to the old vaccine and to infections with like earlier Omicron, like BA1, BA2, BA3. But because the new vaccine is specific to BA5, the hope is that it will still protect against these new variants, BQ1 and BQ11. That being said, we don't know 100% for sure because, you know, these new variants have just hit. So there's a lot to learn, just like every step of the way in this pandemic. All we can say is it's the closest match we have.
Well, I'm reading where it says it's already known to escape antibody immunity. So the monoclonal antibody treatments that they used to use, you know, they're useless against this.
So Evusheld and Bebletoximab were the last ones that were active against BA5. Evusheld was already not active against BA4. Bebtelovimab was pretty much active against every variant up till this one. Now, I haven't seen the hard data to say it's not active. I've just heard people say that it's not active.
Until I see the actual experiment
that says it's not, I'm taking that with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Is this new strain more, less, equal in terms of the potential deadliness of it?
As far as we can tell, the deadliness is about the same. Again, it's new, so take everything I say from the lens of we're just starting to learn about it. Mm-hmm. But what is clear is it spreads faster, and it does escape the older immunity.
Mm-hmm. That was true of BA4 and 5, too.
That was true of BA4 and 5 also. Yeah. So it just keeps getting faster. That's what you select for, right? Anytime a new variant or a new subvariant erupts, it's got to be faster than the old one or escape the immunity of the old one or it won't overtake
it. Which leads to the obvious question, where's the end to this? is there an end to this? I think everybody listening is reacts to what you just said the same way. Oh, well, this one's faster, so we react to this one, and we get shots for this one. There'll be another one that's faster, and another one that's fast.
Yeah, and so there's a few things to think about. Number one, the hope is that as we gain more immunity in general, more antibodies to different parts of this, that some of those parts will still protect us, right? The goal, remember, is it's not as much about preventing you 100% from getting COVID as it is preventing you from getting really sick or dying from COVID. In those cases, the vaccines are very successful. In the beginning, they were very successful about reducing infection as well. As it's changed, it's not as successful. One of the things they're working on is looking for the spots in the spike protein that can't change, right? Because if you change them, it won't function anymore. Those things tend to exist. They're still trying to nail it down and then develop the monoclonal antibodies and the vaccines to specifically target those spots. That's what they're working on that hopefully will, end this continued cycle. But, until we get there, we just don't know.
And is that the thing that, when we first started talking about developing vaccines and people would say, experts would say, look, it takes 4 or 5 years, 10 years sometimes to develop a vaccine. Is that the goalpost that they were talking about to be able to develop a vaccine that gets to the heart?
In the original, 10 years to develop a vaccine is how long it takes to develop a vaccine when you're not in the middle of a pandemic where people are getting infected all the time. So part of that is, I've worked on several vaccine trials, right? The issue is you need to have so many people who, so many people get the vaccine, so many people get the placebo. You have to see how certain number of cases happen, and then you can look at who got the vaccine. Out of those cases, did none of them get the vaccine? Did all of them get the vaccine? Did some of them? And you can see the proportion that the vaccine protects. When you're dealing with an infection that's not super common, or it's common, but, we're not in a global pandemic where everybody's like, I want to be in a vaccine study. It takes time to recruit that number of the people, and it takes time to get to
so
that number.
So you're saying you have a lot more lab rats when it's a pandemic, and you have no problem.
I wouldn't
doing
call
the
them lab rats. We have a lot more volunteers, participants, and we have to thank everybody. To be honest, everybody who participates as a participant in clinical trials, whether it's for a vaccine or an antibiotic or a heart disease medication. Because this is the only way we get new medications.
Hey, doctor,
we know work, and we know we're safe.
Hey, Dr. Sims, I see a lot of people still say, well, this experimental is trial and it's not safe yet. We're probably going into our third year with these vaccines now. Is it now just like a vaccine like any other vaccine now, and it's just into the, into the circulation? It's
experimental. But it isn't. It's still because it's considered experimental. Isn't that one of the reasons that the drug companies are covered? That no one can ever sue them because, this is all an experimental thing? Isn't that one of the reasons that they continue to keep this status?
No, there's a law or there's a federal policy or a law called VARIS, which is, it basically says if a vaccine is considered needed for public health reasons, you can't sue the vaccine company. And the reason for that is if they could, it would bankrupt all the pharmaceutical companies and we'd never get anything. The federal government has a program to investigate whether or not a side effect is linked and to settle any claims related to it if it is found to be linked. So, for example, the Johnson & Johnson blood clots issue would have been handled through that federal program instead of people suing the companies.
So, and my question is the vaccine not just like a regular vaccine and it's not the experimental anymore? I know it qualifies as, but it's not the experimental. It's just a vaccine now.
It's by the FDA, it's still under what they call an EUA, which is an emergency use authorization. At some point, just like they did with remdesivir, hopefully they will move that into fully approved.
Why haven't they done it already?
Again, I think because they're changing the vaccine because the variants at this point, the original vaccine is not as good as the bivalent vaccine. Right. And then you know, we may need in the future a trivalent vaccine. And it's evolving so quickly that I think that's the issue. Is, you know, there it's evolving so quickly, they want to get to one where we're pretty sure it's going to be stable for a while before they say, okay, it's time.
Now, there was a hearing in England where they brought people from, I believe it was Pfizer, and put them on the stand and said to them, did you have any data that proved that the vaccines would prevent the transmission of COVID before you introduced it to the public? And they admitted they did not, which was shocking when you to the average person to hear that, you know, well, we were in a hurry. We had to get it out. But, yeah, in fact, we have the cut right here. Here it is.
Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunisation before it entered the market? No. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market.
How do you account for that? I mean, it's not your fault, but I'm just asking you. Sure. How do you account for that in the medical field? That we certainly, when they bought those vaccines out, nobody was saying that out loud. And now they're saying 2 years later, 3 years later, oh, we didn't know if it was going to stop it or not. But, you know, we were in a hurry, so we had to get it out.
So I will tell you this. The ultimate purpose of that vaccine was not to stop transmission. It would have been amazing if it stopped transmission. That would have been incredible. The purpose of this vaccine is to save people's lives.
Yes, but the president of the United States came out and said, if you take this vaccine, you won't get COVID. He's on tape saying that. And many people at lower rank than him said the same thing.
And that's fine. And what I would have said is, it's fine that the president, who is not a scientist, who, you know, probably shouldn't have said it that way, said that, because what the studies showed was it was 90-some-odd% effective, and it's changed with each variant, et cetera. But in the beginning, it was the mRNA vaccines were in the 90% effective of preventing death, and they were in the lower, they were a little lower in terms of preventing death.
Well, then why would the Pfizer infection. Person, why would the Pfizer person say, no, we didn't know if they were effective or not?
No, he didn't. They didn't say they didn't know it was effective. They were effective vaccines. What they said is they didn't know if it would stop transmission from one person to another. That's a very different question than were they effective. They were absolutely effective when they entered the market.
But they didn't know if they stopped transmission, and we were told when they were introduced that if you get this, you won't get COVID. That's stopping transmission.
No, it's not. Stopping transmission, you getting it. So you're misinterpreting what it means to stop transmission. If you get it, what you're stopping is that person is protected. So the person who's vaccinated should not get COVID. Now, it was not 100%. There is no vaccine. There is no vaccine that is 100%. There is no drug therapy that is 100%.
All right, what am I missing?
If you have a headache and you take aspirin, you don't lose the headache.
But what am I missing?
That means that what that means is that if a person has COVID, you know, that if everybody gets vaccinated, that it will stop transmitting from person to person to person and spreading. It will reduce transmission, and it clearly did reduce transmission. It did not stop transmission.
Okay.
And, you know, again, the only vaccine in the world that has completely stopped transmission was smallpox vaccine, because there's no such thing as smallpox in the world anymore, except in frozen samples, right? Mm. So that nobody gets smallpox anymore, because that vaccine was 100% effective in stopping transmission and stopping infection. There's no more smallpox. Every other vaccine could be very effective or just partially effective. The pneumonia vaccine, there's still pneumonia. The flu vaccine, there's still flu. There's still spread. But it is much lower in vaccinated people than in non-vaccinated people. And the same holds true for the COVID vaccine. The COVID vaccine prevents infection not as well as it prevents death. So in other words, you may still get infected if you have that vaccine. You are much less likely to get very sick, and you are much less likely to die.
And how long will, even on this new vaccine, those benefits last before you need to go get another vaccine?
So just like the flu vaccine and many others, we will probably need boosters. How often we're going to need boosters in the end is not clear. The best estimates are we're hoping that it will get to once a year, like flu. And every so often, they're probably going to need to change it because we'll have new variants, just like we do, you know, the pneumonia vaccine, the Prevnar, that is used for kids and adults, right? It started out as Prevnar 7 because it covered 7 strains. Then it went to Prevnar 13. Now it's Prevnar 20, right? That's not a failure of the vaccine. It's expanding the vaccine to cover what's circulating now. So one of the things that happens is as you vaccinate people and make them not as susceptible to whatever strains are floating around, other strains that are not covered by that vaccine will become more common. We see it with pneumonia. We saw it with HPV.
And I assume
we see it with everything.
And I assume it's natural
just part
immunity.
Of vaccines.
Natural immunity, if you've had it, it's the same thing that runs its course.
Right. Same thing. Natural immunity will last so long, and if there's a new strain that evades that natural immunity, like Omicron did, like BA5 does to BA1,
right?
You know, then yeah, the natural immunity. That's why people who have been infected but not immunized still break new infections.
Right, but do you have any protection against the most serious consequences?
You do. You have some.
From natural immunity.
And it's not as high as if those people who got the native infection also got vaccinated. Yeah. That those studies have been looked at where people who have been infected and get vaccinated have even higher levels of antibody.
Well, obviously, still many questions on this issue.
There's lots.
Yeah,
there are, and it's a very complex. It's a very complex issue, and you're a smart guy, and you still didn't quite understand the transmission issue.
Well, I understood what the president said, and I'm not a scientist, but I understood that when the president of the United States tells you that if you get this, you won't get Omicron, that's not nice, or that's not okay, and that's not well. He's not a scientist. He shouldn't have said it. People at his at other levels of government who we listen to and trust shouldn't have said it. They should have said this will not necessarily keep you from getting the virus. And that's not what he said. He said if you get it, if you take the vaccine, you won't get COVID. And that's a lie. So, you know, words count.
There's no vaccine other than the smallpox vaccine.
Well, then the president needs to be told that.
Well, I can't disagree with you that if he said that, and again, I haven't heard that quote.
I'll play it. Well, if we have more time, I'll go dig it out and play it.
I understand. And I'm just saying, I just haven't heard that quote. I heard the quote when he said that, you know, the pandemic was over, and clearly it's changed, but it's not over.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that he said.
Again, I agree that sometimes people say things that are taken out of context or overblown or, you know, but the fact is, this vaccine protects you. It protects you better against Omicron than the old vaccine did.
Okay.
And that's what we know.
Dr. Sins, we're going to have to leave it there.
It's immensely helpful.
Kind of gone several minutes over our time here, but it's an interesting conversation.
I appreciate you giving me the time to talk about it.
Of course. Thank you for coming on, as always. We appreciate the information. Dr. Matthew Sims from Corewell Health East, formerly Beaumont Health, back with more after this.